This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast. A quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Fan Hotline, that is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you. Until just after 8:30 tonight, we have Pirates baseball on the air, Buccos and Angels. A 9:38 first pitch out in Anaheim. Dan Zangrilli has the North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 8:40. On that fan hotline is our buddy Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. He covers Penn State Athletics. A great guy to talk to as we approach the NFL draft, just about 49 hours from right now, Thursday night at 8, the coverage begins. We will also have coverage on the Fan leading up to the draft before Pirates baseball that night. But we go out to Joe right now. Joe is also a baseball aficionado for anybody out there. Joe, do you have any idea why the Angels play their games at these obscure times? Like, why is it 9:38 and 9:29? The games that they're playing?
I don't know. Thanks for having me on, as always, Donnie. But, yeah, I guess it's not too different from some of the Pirates' third times, right? Pirates begin at 6:40, which I guess would be close to that time out west. But, yeah, that is pretty odd. It might just be an odd quirk, like, you know, the Pirates insist on having all their home openers start at 4:12 now because of 4:12.
Yeah.
There might be some, like, inside reason behind that, but, yeah, I'm not real sure.
Yeah, like 9:38, like, they can't just do 9:40, or, you know, 9:29, they can't just do 9:30. That's odd to me. Joe, some big-time Penn State prospects going into this draft, even more so than last season, because there is – real potential that they have the best overall player. We've had a lot of conversations about Abdul Carter. Do you still think he is the best prospect in the draft, even more so than Travis Hunter?
I do. For the simple reason that if Travis Hunter ends up playing predominantly one way or fully one way in the NFL, is he a generational talent? I'm not sure about that. If he's a full-time defensive back, is he a guy that could be a Deion Sanders-level player? If he's a full-time receiver, could he be a transformational receiver? I admire as much as anybody Travis Hunter's ability to play both ways. I think it's something that we might not see again for a long time, at least not at that level. But can he replicate that in the NFL? I don't know. And if he can't, will he be good enough at one specific position to be a generational talent? Abdul Carter, I think, is a generational edge rusher. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Lawrence Taylor or T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett, but I think he's a guy that's going to make an instant impact, and whoever drafts him is going to get a perennial all-pro. And then as far as the quarterbacks go, you know, I don't think there is a quarterback cut from that cloth in this draft. I think Cam Ward is the best one. That's why it seems like he's a lock to go number one. Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders each have potential, but nobody is thinking, you know, generational prospect when they're thinking of those guys. So I think Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are the best two players in this draft. And because we all know how good Carter can be when playing one way, I would give him the edge over Travis Hunter.
Where do you think is like a best fit for him? Because it is starting to seem a little bit more clear that The Titans are going to take Cam Ward at number one. It's starting to seem like the Browns are going to go with Travis Hunter instead of Abdul Carter at number two. So do you think if he slots in there at three, the Giants, edge rusher is one of the few things they do have going for them. So Carter could potentially fit right into that mold with them. Or do you think there is somewhere else that would be a more ideal fit in those early picks?
Yeah, I would still guess that the Giants are going to take Carter. Donnie, you know, the two names that we've brought up, you've predicted that he's going to take, that they're going to take Shedeur Sanders at number three. I don't know if you still have that prediction, but I know as of a few weeks ago, that's where you were leaning. But if it's not a quarterback and it's not a guy that could well be the best overall player in the draft, who are they going to take at number three? Obviously, edge is a strength, but much like the reason I feel that the Browns should go with Abdul Carter, even though it doesn't look like they will, why not have two big-time talents on that one position? I don't think that's a bad thing. It's not like quarterback where you have one guy that's great and another guy sitting the bench. If you get two elite edge rushers, I don't know what the problem with that would be. I don't know why Cleveland would be afraid to pair up Carter with Myles Garrett. But because of the amount of times that Abdul Carter has met with the New York Giants, he even tweeted a picture without any caption of Lawrence Taylor a few weeks ago. That indicates that maybe that's where the Giants are going to go, and that would be my prediction. Of course, players tweet cryptic things all the time, and Abdul Carter is certainly no stranger to that with his Star Wars stuff that got a lot of traction late in Penn State season. But, yeah, I feel that Carter is going to go in the top four. He hasn't met with any team outside of the top four. And since it seems like the Titans and Browns have their minds made up, the only options there would be the Giants and Patriots. And I think the Giants are going to take him at number three.
Yeah, I have since moved off the thought of Sanders going number three because there does just seem to be way too much smoke to the slide that he's about to go on. I mean, we might be talking about Shedeur Sanders, Steelers quarterback, at some point here soon. Tyler Warren, the other big-time Penn Stater, right behind Abdul Carter. I think this dude is a top-10 talent. The mocks have him kind of between, I don't know, I would say pick like 7 or 8 and then like pick 15. It doesn't seem like he will really get past the Colts if he does get outside of the top 10. Where are you getting a gauge on his draft stock as we sit about 2 days out?
Yeah, I think the best case scenario, as you alluded to with number 7, Donnie, is that he's going to go to the Jets. And I think that's possible, but this might be more gut instinct than anything else. But I really like the fit that he would be in with the Bears at number 10. You have a young quarterback, Caleb Williams, that they feel could be a superstar. You have a new head coach, Ben Johnson, that's very offensive-minded, and you saw what Sam Laporta's been able to do with the Lions in Ben Johnson's offense. You have to give the offensive coordinator some credit for that. And, you know, when you're a young QB, your best friend could be your tight end, and I feel that if Warren does fall to 10, which I think is a decent possibility, that would be a good option. Obviously, Cole Kmet isn't bad, but Warren's a guy that I don't know if he would make that Brock Bowers level impact where he's a first-team All-Pro as a rookie, but I don't think he'd be that far off. I think this guy is the absolute total package as a tight end with his pass-catching ability, with his blocking ability, which for some reason people are doubting. But you watch the tape, there's plenty of clips around of him just absolutely bullying dudes. And obviously, his versatility, too. He was a high school quarterback, which I'm sure everybody's heard at this point. Penn State used him as a running back. They split him out wide a lot. This guy could really do just about anything you'd ask of him, and I think the Jets would be pretty smart to take him at number 7, but my gut is that they're going to pass on him, and if they do, I really think Chicago makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you see the clips all the time. You saw so many highlights from him last year sort of running the Wildcat for Penn State. Do you think he's gotten any indication that a team may do that with him wherever he ends up?
Yeah, he was actually asked a question like that at Pro Day, and Tyler Warren doesn't really say a whole lot of anything. And that's not a criticism. That's just, you know, some guys are soft-spoken, lead by example. Tyler Warren is that type of guy. It's not the best thing maybe for a sports writer, but from a human element, you can definitely understand it and definitely understand why James Franklin and most college coaches prefer their athletes to be that way. But, yeah, going back to your question, Donnie, he was asked, you know, at Pro Day if teams at the Combine talk to him about his ability to be versatile, running the Wildcat, do those things that helped him get such notoriety at Penn State. And he kind of brushed the question off. He said it wasn't something that was really brought up a ton. So based on that answer, that doesn't give us a whole lot. But, I mean, why wouldn't you do it, right, if you're a team that has Tyler Warren at your disposal? A guy that's going to be drafted in the later rounds, Kobe King, I remember him saying after a Penn State game that, you know, you can prepare for it all you want, but when there's a guy that's 6'6", 250 pounds, jumping over and going airborne, you know, basically good luck to whoever's trying to defend that. And whether that's the college level, pro level, I think if a team is in a goal line situation, they'd be foolish not to employ what became known as the Warren Cat at Penn State. They did not use that against Ohio State at the goal line, but that's been talked about a lot over the past several months. But yeah, as far as, you know, using Tyler Warren's as a Wildcat, I don't know if any team will be as extreme as Andy Kotelnicki was at Penn State and using him. Like, we're not gonna see Tyler Warren throw any passes. I certainly wouldn't expect us to see him snap the ball and then catch a touchdown on the same play. That's a once in a lifetime type of deal that I don't think is going to be attempted in the National Football League. But as far as there being like some elements of it, yeah, you know, you have gimmicks have been part of football for a long time. William Refrigerator Perry, a big example of that. You know, why not say you're at the 5-yard line, 3-yard line, had that guy go out at a Wildcat, try to go airborne, and, you know, good luck to whoever's trying to stop that.
Talking to Joe Smeltzer, he covers Penn State athletics for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, you mentioned Kobe King, the Penn State linebacker. He kind of falls in that next set of Penn Staters that could get their phones called this weekend. You got Kevin Winston, you have Jalen Reed, a couple of safeties, and then Kobe King. They're kind of in that next set of three. So tell me a little bit about the safeties, because that could be something that for the Steelers is a potential target for them in those middle rounds.
Yeah, KJ Winston's the guy that really had his junior season stolen from him against West Virginia. He played a great game, was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, earned some national accolades from the Maxwell Club, and then we know now during practice between West Virginia and Bowling Green, he suffered what was a partially torn ACL. And the combination of obviously the physical limitations as well as not wanting to risk a fully torn ACL, which would not have been good for KJ Winston, Penn State, or anybody. He ended up not playing another down the rest of the year, not playing another down at Penn State. But this is a guy that just has a lot of attributes of a first-round pick, and I think had he played his full junior season, he would have been a first-round pick. He's got good height, good size. He can defend the run. He's very good against the pass, very instinctive football player, and we saw at Pro Day he was able to run his 40, and he did a pretty good job there. So I don't know if he's at full health yet, but he's definitely getting there, and I feel that the health should not be too big of a concern. But at the same time, I don't think he's got – I think the very best-case scenario is him going in the second round, and that's because simply he didn't have those extra 14, 15 games of tape that he would have had had he been able to play his full junior season. As far as Jalen Reed goes, he's a guy that I think could go maybe in the third round, might end up falling late in the draft. I feel like he's the guy that has kind of the widest range of possibilities. He doesn't necessarily have that wow factor. I don't think that KJ Winston does, but he's played a lot of football. He ended up playing the most snaps on Penn State's team. He burned his red shirt as a freshman, played a lot under Manny Diaz's defense in 2022 and 23. And then under Tom Allen, he really wasn't able to fulfill the role that Penn State expected of him because of KJ Winston's injury. Ideally, Yeah, Penn State runs a 4-2-5. They'll still run a 4-2-5 under Jim Knowles. But in Tom Allen's defense, the safeties played a big part, and ideally they would have been able to play Jalen Reed, Zaki Wheatley, and KJ Winston at the same time. That didn't come into fruition. So had Winston been healthy, Reed would have played a lot of that hybrid role between safety and linebacker. They called it the lion position at Penn State. But because Winston was out, Reed wasn't able to do that as much and had to play back in that free safety type of role a little more often than maybe would have been ideal. But this is a guy that's versatile. He can make big plays. He had a huge pick six against Wisconsin. That was really one of the bigger plays of Penn State's season, turned the whole tide of that game. And if Penn State doesn't win that game, they don't go to the college football playoff. And playing at the second level, he can do that too. So he has versatility, and he had a good showing at the combine. Ran, I think it was a 4.59. And he's just a guy that is a very smart football player. Kind of reminds me of Jair Brown in that he's always in the right place at the right time. And then as far as Kobe King goes, he's going to go probably later, I would say, a 6th, 7th round, and that's because, you know, in a certain time period, Donnie, run-stopping Mike linebacker at Penn State would have been a pretty hot draft commodity, mm-hmm. but now you kind of have to defend the pass in the NFL, and that's something that Kobe King has admitted isn't his strong suit. So because of his weaknesses against the pass, he's going to be a guy that I think falls down a little further, but I still would expect Kobe King to have his name called at some point this weekend.
Joe Smeltzer, check out his stuff. He covers Penn State for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, thanks for taking the time, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Donnie.
There we go. Joe Smeltzer, one of the young, bright Penn State reporters out there. Always some pretty good insight on the Penn State prospects. And it's only fitting because they do truly have two of the top 5 to 10 players in this draft. I know that Tyler Warren will not go in the top 5. It seems like his sweet spot is 7 to 15, and that's kind of what Joe was saying there, Joel. But, man, I just feel like whoever gets him is going to be getting, like, the next great NFL tight end. I think that kid's a hell of a player.
I'm kind of thinking about it right now. Because the quarterback class is not that good, I wonder if now, unless Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, whoever puts together this insane rookie season, it seems like Cam Ward would be the only quarterback who's got, you know, a fairly decent chance of winning Rookie of the Year. We could be talking about Tyler Warren as Offensive Rookie of the Year, especially if he's playing for Ben Johnson. Think about that.
Yeah, that's not a bad bet there, Jolie.
You mentioned how he was able to get Sam Laporta to have a lot of success with the Detroit Lions. Think about all the different ways that Ben Johnson could use Tyler Warren in his system with Caleb Williams. Think about that.
I do think that's probably like the best spot there, because then he's not even required to be like the main target, because you have DJ Moore, you have Cole Kmet, who has started to come around for them. The Jets, if you pull up that depth chart, they literally just have a bunch of tight ends that nobody's ever heard of. And I also think that that is just a nice little safety blanket for a guy like Justin Fields to have kind of in his back pocket. But I like where your mind is at there, Jolie. We could be looking at, I mean, I feel like he'd be probably in the top 5 for that award, no? It'll be like Cam Ward, Ashton Gentry, Tyler Warren.
Omarion Hampton.
Yeah, and then maybe one of those receivers you want to throw in there. Like where your mind's at, Jolie. You can hit us up on the fan text line as well. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, we'll get into a little Buccos. 6-game stretch here in L.A. Could it be a daunting one for Derek Shelton? We get into that coming up next. We have Joel's pick at the end of this hour. We will do a read and react to Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan's pre-draft press conference a little bit later, all before we hand it off to Dan Zangrilli at 8:40. So coming up, little Buccos on the mind here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.